March 7, 2018 is the Watt for Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show here in Pedro. Brother Matt unavailable because of his school schedule being changed. And us rolling with that. But in the meantime, I'm not totally man alone because through the magic of Skype, those software engineers in Estonia, I got Jeff Parker with me. What part of town are you in, Jeff?
I'm in Altadena, California.
Yeah, like dairy. We call that dairy country.
Yeah, right.
It used to be a lot more dairies. But what that means, listeners, is, you know, SoCal's a big area, and this is kind of more in the east, going closer to the foothills. So, Altadena and Montclair and Claremont. Why would they name two towns right next to each other, Montclair and Claremont?
Right.
Because they want to do that, because they could, that's why.
And, right.
And there's a lot of colleges and stuff out there, and actually there's a lot of space. It's very nice out there.
Yeah, super nice.
Yeah, it is. It's not like total concrete land. Jeff, let's say what we started with. We started with John Coltrane doing The Promise live, and then Jeff Parker with Here Comes Ezra. And please tell us your earliest musical memory.
Man, I don't remember what music it was.
Okay.
But I remember I was probably 3 years old.
Yep.
And my mom was, she was like combing and braiding my hair.
Yep.
And,
well, like
there was
in
a
the
song
kitchen?
On the,
in the kitchen, like in the kitchen or something.
Yeah, it's like in the kitchen. I mean, we have like a small apartment, like probably 2-bedroom apartment or something.
What town?
This was in Bridgeport, Connecticut, where I was born.
Oh, okay. A little more east of there, New Haven. Kay, who ended up playing bass in Black Flag.
And I think, oh, okay.
And I think Doug Wimbush. Great basement.
Oh, he's from there, too.
Yeah. Anyway, Connecticut Yankee.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
okay,
no.
So your ma's braiding your hair, and you're hearing music like radio or records?
Yeah, what's like I think it's the radio, man. Like my parents used to listen to the radio all the time.
Okay.
And I don't know, it's something playing, and I was listening to it, and I was tapping my foot to the music, in time, like
sure.
I felt, you know, I was right there with it. And my mom just like looked at me and smiled.
Right.
And that was it.
Like, you know what to do.
Like, yeah, she was like,
Jeff,
no, my kid digs music.
Yeah, was there instruments in the house? Were they listeners or players?
They were just listeners. It was mostly my mom liked music, but my father was a real, like, fan. He collected records, and he used to sing. And he had some, like, percussion instruments, like conga drums, and, but they weren't musicians. Like, they didn't really play anything, you know.
Okay, when did you first start playing?
My first instrument was piano.
Was there one in the pad?
Was there what?
One in the pad, or was it at school?
No, I was at school.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, my grandmother actually had an organ in her apartment.
Yeah.
And when I would go over to her house, I would kind of mess around on that. I'd play it a lot, you know what I mean? For hours, like. And then my parents knew that I was interested in it, so they signed me up for piano lessons.
Okay.
And that's when I was 8. But I didn't really take to it, man. The thing I liked about the organ was it had, like, you know, it had, like, a beatbox in it and stuff, and, like, it was, like, an electronic instrument.
Sure.
But I never really took to the piano, man. I always kind of thought it was because I'm left-handed. Yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
What about the teacher? People tell me when they had piano lessons young, the teacher was lame.
Yeah, well, it was. He was kind of lame. It was like a group lesson thing. So it wasn't, it was at this, in the studio close to my school where, they had like a bunch of electric pianos in there and we all would sit and play at the same time, like a group of us.
Wow.
I don't know, man. It wasn't, I didn't really take to it. Maybe it was the teacher or the environment, but it.
Sure. What about the kind of stuff they got in school, like the school band or the marching band?
Yeah. I mean, I went through some of that, too.
What'd you do?
I played trombone.
The bone. There's bass clef.
Yeah.
And I heard from marching band it was kind of happening because big mouthpiece.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
Some little mouthpieces are hard to, like, march around with.
I know, yeah, man. That's true.
I mean, I heard from people. Watt never did that. I tried clarinet. And after 10 weeks, the guy kicked me out. I never got to march.
Said, man.
I tried hard, though. His name was Mr. Luna. So, Jeff, how'd you get on the guitar?
Well, I mean, my sister had guitar lessons when she was young. I have an older sister.
Okay.
She's 5 years older than me. But she had guitar lessons, and, you know, she gave up on it, but her old guitar was laying around the house.
Like acoustic Spanish nylon string?
Like a cheap steel string.
Oh, okay.
Acoustic guitar.
Flat top.
Yeah. So this was like the mid-70s. And the R&B station in my hometown. By this time, we had moved to Virginia, where I grew up.
What part?
Hampton.
Okay. Because I was born in Portsmouth and lived in Norfolk.
Oh, damn. Yeah, right around there, man.
Not far.
That's like right across the bay, man.
Right. Well, big Navy town, Newport News, you know.
Yeah, like Hampton, Newport News.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where
right
I grew
there.
Up. Wow, that's crazy, man.
Ain't it? Yeah, I came here when I was nine. So you're saying the R&B station?
Yeah. It was on AM. And, you know, on the R&B, like on AM, it didn't really have any high end.
Right.
So all I used to hear, I mean, and this was like funk R&B, all you could hear was the bass. Like,
okay.
You could hear the bass line. And the vocals, and like, so I picked up my sister's guitar, and I started playing the bass lines on
her guitar.
Yeah. From the first tune I learned how to play by myself was this tune called "Slide" by Slave.
Sure.
Did you know that tune?
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
I could just play that shit on the E string. Doom, 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 doo, 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 doo. And I play that, like I play like Flashlight by P-Funk. Like I could like, I started to bang out those bass lines on guitar, and you know my parents.
Ah, this is before you're doing chords. Okay.
Oh yeah, man.
When they get those kind of guitars, they're like doing some kind of Bob Dylan folky thing, you know.
I was playing it like a bass.
Here, we're gonna play right now. Get Dressed, okay?
Oh yeah.
Thank you. Hey, I heard that. Wait a minute, get dressed. Y'all can't play. What?
You better think twice. You better think twice. You better think twice before you leave it today. You better think twice before you're going away. You know that it's wrong and now you're breaking my heart. You better think twice before we're making it start. We got nothing to lose. We got it all to win. Think about that. Think about that. We got nothing to lose. We got it all to win. People are lying and you believe what they say. You better think twice. You better be real before you're going away. You better think twice before you know it's a sin. The people are lying and now you're breaking my heart. You better be real cause we can't make any start. We got the news. We got it all to win. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that.
Thank you. התחלנו. שעשינו יותר מדי סמים, שהדור הזה דפוק, ושנשלם מחיר כבד, כולנו. הוא היה צלול באותו רגע שאמר את זה, ממש כמו מוחו של צלב, רגע לפני סחיטת ההדק. אחר כך הוא חזר לסוקו שלו. היינו בדרך לאן שהוא, אני לא זוכר בדיוק לאן. הלכו איתנו אנשים שלא דיברו הרבה, אבל היו חלק ממני, ממש כמו דיבר בגוף. היה לילה, והשמיים הבהירים גלשו עלינו כמו חלב חם. לא ידעתי אז מה המחיר, אבל הייתי מוכן לשלם אותו.
Watch for Pedro Show. We heard of Jeff Parker with Get Dressed. I love it. I love that title. I love that song.
No.
And then we heard the Dicks, Think Twice, Holly Reeve, Musty Flannel. Of course, you know, Dicks with Gary Floyd. He's been in the city a long time, but Texas. And Harry Reeve, he's been living in Glasgow. And solo acoustic bass. Zero Dent out of Perth. With Over By It. The Vandal Poets, Thank You. Thrash Again. Demo, I think it's out of Ohio. Vasco Aranasotsky with Rika. 5RZ 260 Mix. That's Macedonia. He was on the show last week. Incredible. He's on tour now, so safe seas there, Brother Vasco. A group of Turisti out of Belgrade with Levo, Ili, Desno. Farther south, Tel Aviv Nero says, we're screwed. I still think you are still full of shit by the hand. I think that's people from Low, Duluth band. Aerosol Weather, Black Moth, Super Rainbow, brand new from Mr. Tom out of Pittsburgh, Steak Sellers, Upstate New York, Emergency Brain Surgery, and finally, Cliche from Jeff Parker. And we're continuing with his journey through music. So he's doing where we are now in the story, people. He's in Virginia doing bass lines on his sister's acoustic guitar that she has given up.
Right.
And from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd say, man, I almost switched to bass.
Whoa. Would have been a different universe, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I played, for probably the first 5 years, I played guitar, man. I played it with my two fingers, like a bass player. And I always heard the guitar from the bottom up.
Okay.
You know, which I kind of think that that's why it was so easy for me to join a band like Tortoise.
With two bass.
Yeah, because when I first started playing with them, man, I mean, they were two bass players and two drummers and a percussionist.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, I always consider myself, like, as part of the rhythm section, man. Like,
well,
first,
I think in the old days, like in big bands I've been reading, guitar was, so was piano. They were all in the rhythm section.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what's trippy, though, Jeff, is the rhythm guitar in R&B is kind of traveling.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a big influence on D-Boone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can hear it for sure.
Because he thought, you know, he wanted to change. We were coming out of arena rock, and he thought a problem was too much domination of guitar. So he liked this R&B thing where you gave more room to the drums and bass. Of course, Georgia were way into that.
Right.
That's right. The real political part of it. Was D-Boone, like, changing the, you know, what we knew about arena rock, you know, and we got it in R&B sounds. So, did you ever think about maybe trading this acoustic guitar for a bass?
I did, man. Yeah, okay. I mean, I remember my father actually took me to the music store when I was 12, and we looked at and I played a Fender Mustang bass.
Oh yeah, little one.
And I didn't like it, man.
Okay.
So I was like, I said, I'll just stick with guitar. And I got that's kind of when I switched to electric guitar.
Now this is probably the first time you played something with big strings. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, that was probably it, man.
Because me, too, the first couple of years I played a guitar. I thought a bass was a guitar with four strings. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't know, you know. We're talking the early 70s, and I just had no idea. Arena rock was, you were too far away. It was hard to see up close.
Yes.
Right. So what was your first guitar?
My first electric?
Yeah, electric, I'm sorry.
My first electric was a Gibson L6S.
Whoa.
From 1975, I think.
Yeah.
Nice. It was like a thing, it looked like one of those, it looked like a Les Paul that kind of got run over by a steamroller.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was nice.
Was it natural?
I got it.
What was the finish? Was it natural?
No, it was black. It was like black. All
yeah,
black.
Yeah, I've seen black ones. I've also seen natural ones.
Yeah, it was black and it had an ebony fingerboard, man.
Oh, that was different those things had maple necks. They were different for Gibsons.
Yeah, this one had had an ebony. It was like 100% black.
Yeah. And what you get, and so since you get this electric guitar, what's your pop say? You got to do lessons?
Man, I kind of stopped taking lessons. And
okay.
I took lessons from this classical guitar guy who I didn't like at all, man.
Yeah.
Like, and it was really expensive, you know, and my parents didn't have a lot of money, so sure. It was like, it was wasting their money, and I told them I didn't really like the dude. Yeah. And it kind of coincided about right when I got the electric guitar, and I don't know, man, I didn't play it for a couple years, but I joined a jazz band at my junior high school. And that's kind of when I picked it up again.
Okay. Did you try to learn stuff off records?
Yeah, that came a little bit later, man. Like, yeah, I did, man. Like in the metal days, the 80s. Okay. Metal. I mean, I would suck like ZZ Top and Zeppelin and Hendrix and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, I was just into music. Like, I remember kids in my high school would, like, bet me $5 if I could play, like, solo on, like, Triumph or Rush or, like, some shit like that. And I'd learn it and get the money. But I don't know. I was always into, like, jazz and stuff, like, weird music, reggae.
What about bedroom bands, garage bands, kids after school?
Yeah, I had a band. I had a band with a couple cats in my junior high when I was in eighth grade. We were playing like Jefferson Airplane and like ZZ Top.
Tres Hombres.
Yeah.
That was a big album for us.
Oh, yeah, man.
Fandango, too.
But then,
what I forgot to ask you, Jeff? Jeff, what was the first record you bought?
The first record I bought was by this group called Brass Construction.
Brass Construction.
It's like a funk, like a band.
No, but that name kind of rings a bell for some reason.
Okay. Yeah, it was.
And can you remember the first gig you went to?
I don't remember it. The first gig that I went to that I remember going to was Stevie Wonder.
Whoa.
Yeah, my mom took me and my sister when I was probably six.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was playing all the music from like Intervision.
Yeah, sure, right. You know about that synthesizer?
Huh.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about those three records he did in the city and Intervision. There's another one. There's three of them where there's a synthesizer that was the size of a fucking room. In fact, it has its own album called the Tonto's Expanding Headband. Check it out sometime. This cat turned me on to it. Underneath all that stuff, of course, you know, Stevie played everything. But there's this kind of like burbling, percolating synthesizer loops. You know, and there was no sequencer. This is all oscillators doing little loops. And there's a whole tricky thing, yeah, that I never knew when I was listening to it in real time, but I found this all out about 10, 15 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, trippy thing about that. I wish I would have got to see that gig. You know, we're at the end of the first hour, March 7, 2018, edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, Jeff Parker here. People, hang tight for hour two. March 7, 2018, it's the second hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
even though it's breaking, when there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile through your tears and sorrow. Smile, and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Trace of sadness, although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is
just more. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Jeff Parker as part of Tortoise. doing Ox Duke. Ox was the nickname that they gave John Entwistle in The Who. So there's kind of some Ox, but not that kind of Ox. Then we had Sun Ra, who spent some time in Chicago, Birmingham. Smile, Circus Devils, which is one of Bob Pollard, Dayton, Soul Proj, Idiot Tree, Mold Omen Al Balmore with Osman Spare, Wahila, Love Theme, She's Here, that's got Alex from Dirty Beaches. Okay, he's citizen of the world. I think he's in Portugal right now. Crash Landing, fuck, I forgot where they're from. Paranoid Parents Party, Unit F out of SoCal here with all the best, and Jeff Parker with Super Rich Kids. Almost said Stupid Rich Kids. But I lost my security clearance. Oops. No, I had it reduced. I didn't lose it. I just had it reduced. But still, don't know how to talk. I'm an idiot. Okay. Can you remember the first gig you played?
Oh, man. I remember a couple early ones. This was something I didn't really get to when we were before the break. Like my first serious band I was in,
yep,
was a fusion kind of band we had called Shades of Grey.
Okay.
Because it was four of us in the band. It was like two black kids, two white kids. So we called our band Shades of Grey.
That makes sense.
And
that's like how I grew up in the Navy.
Yeah.
A lot of Shades of Grey.
Yeah, no doubt. But we played a talent show.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of the first like gig I really remember playing. I was probably like 15, I would say.
10th grade.
Yeah, like 10th grade. We played this talent show. We got second place.
Oh, wow.
Behind. Yeah, behind.
Do you remember the tune? Was it original?
We had mostly originals, but I think for the show, we played this tune by Hubert Laws, or Ronnie Laws, one of the Laws brothers, called, Friends and Neighbors, I think it's called. It was like a hit at the time.
Yeah, huge. You know. Yeah, I remember those guys.
But
I graduated high school in 76, so Some Romantic Warrior was the big album.
That's the shit we were checking out. We couldn't play like that, but that's what we were...
Neither could we. But it was
big.
That's
what we wanted to do. Yeah, that's some fun music to listen to now, man.
So that's one of your first gigs then, maybe?
Yeah, that was it, man.
Was it scary?
It was scary, man. Yeah, I was nervous, man. But it's funny, man, the band that got first place was a bunch of kids from the blind school, the School of the Blind.
Yeah.
All the kids were blind, man.
Right.
They could really play, man.
Wow. Well, I remember meeting a blind guy in Canada, and he'd always come to my gigs, and he was a bass man. And the way he would describe the gigs was different than anybody. So I think it's all another world.
Yeah, man. Like Stevie, you know?
Yep, like Stevie. You get into... What's in between the talent show and Tortoise?
It was music school.
Which one?
Well, I went to Berkeley.
Okay, so you moved to Massachusetts.
Yeah, I moved to Massachusetts, man. I went up there, kind of try and learn how to play, for better or for worse.
Yep. Competition must be intense.
Yeah, but I'm kind of lucky, man. I couldn't really play very well when I got there. I mean, I'm... And I just wanted to learn. So I kind of wasn't really even good enough to compete at the time. So I was just taking everything in. I mean, I went to school with a lot of great musicians, man. But, you know, And this was a different time, like down in Virginia. I was always into jazz, man. Like, I mean, that was like my music I loved, but I didn't really have anybody to teach me how to play it.
Yeah.
So when I went up to Boston, you know, I wanted to learn how to play it. When I got up there, I had like all these sounds in my head, but I didn't know how to do it. So
you wanted to learn. You wanted to soak it up, all that stuff around you there at Berkeley.
Yeah. I wanted to soak it up, man. It was fun. I mean, it was a good time.
Were you in any bands there while you were going to school?
Not so much, man. Well, towards the end of the time, I started a group with my girlfriend at the time, who's a great trombone player named Sarah P. Smith, and these couple other guys. We started a group called The Last Quartet.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, we were playing like kind of weirdo free jazz, trying to figure stuff out, you know, like super young.
Yeah, but believe it or not, man, there were always a cadet, especially with bebop, maybe not so much fusion, but going back over here, like Raymond Pettibone was the first guy to play me John Coltrane, play me Ascension. I thought he was a punk rocker. I knew he was older. I didn't know he was gone. Because, you know, Navy Housing, I had no idea. But people like Joe Biza, who starts teaching himself guitar at 27, he's a drawer, right? And he starts, and within a couple of years, he's transposing Charlie Parker solos.
Oh, man.
This cat played in Saccharine Trust. He played in our town last week, about 9 days ago. And I've got a recording of this piece I want to play right now.
Thank you. Thank you. America, but by the end of the earth in a way, and a big flood takes over the whole earth and starts flooding everything. So that's kind of the sound in the beginning. There's scraps of melody, kind of reminding people of what used to be. And that's what this kind of story I'm telling of this thing. So thanks for listening.
Live from Pedro Show. That was Joe Bizet live in Pedro last a week from Monday. And he calls this tune Flood. And it's kind of he gives a little spiel at the end to kind of describe him where how the earth is destroyed by a flood. And he's doing this with music. And then he said the little melodies are like pieces of the good times we remember. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, 2018, March 7th. Edition Walk Peter's Show, special guest Jeff Barker from Altadena. Hold tight for hour three. March 7, 2018, it's the third hour. Walk for Pedro's Show. Thank you.
dižem čarobe. Vidi kako je super, ima pupa. Vidi kako je super. Hvala lepo.
Promise made is a promise kept. I wanna be a politician, just like being a magician. Smoke and mirrors and illusion. I wanna be a politician, just like being a magician. Smoke and mirrors and illusion. Nothing up my sleeve except a parakeet.
Pedro Show. I'm telling Jeff here about the first time I heard of Berklee School of Music. It's actually on the sleeve of the first Voidoids. After Television and Heartbreakers, the real Heartbreakers of Johnny Thunder, he makes a band called the Voidoids in their first album, Blank Generation. Just had the 40th year at B-Day. Well, you open up the sleeve, you know, where the record's in. One side's the words, but the other side's a bunch of pictures. And they're Bob Quine's Berklee School of Music ideas there. So that's how I first heard of Berklee School. Yeah. Bob Quine was along with Ivan Julian. Yeah. Incredible guitar
player. Quine went to Berklee, man?
And if you get this record, if you look at that sleeve, you can see his little ID.
No shit. Now, I never knew that either, man.
I got to record with him once, and we did Freeze Out, a Dylan cover. But Martin Tears Pad. But he told me, because he was from Kent, Ohio, the first guy's he saw play electric guitar was Buddy Holly in the year I was born, 1957.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Bob was
wow.
a little older. Man, incredible guitarist. And also the other guy, Ivan Julian. Both those guys. A big influence on D-Boom, of course.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I should say what we played. Days Fly By with Ruby by Jeff Parker. Then the click, this click out of Switzerland with Schmierdam Namuf, NATO Face with Promises Made, DER with Polotus Shan. Hey, they came to that gig to thank me for playing their music. And then finally, Isotope 217 with Real Mics. So, how does it get from Boston School of Music, Berklee, to Chicago and Tortoise?
All right. Well, after I finished school, I kind of didn't want to move to New York. Even though I eventually wanted to move to New York, but I felt like I wasn't ready to move to New York. So I moved to Chicago instead, man. Like I wanted to just kind of like, I worked in a record store, just wanted to kind of like clear my head
sure.
from like music school and shit. And I don't know. I mean, I just kind of, after I was there maybe a year and a half, and people started calling me to play gigs, you know, like a working musician. I was playing like a lot of jazz gigs around town, playing like bebop and standards and stuff. And,
jazz guitar, can I ask you, Jeff, on just jazz guitar, who was big influence?
Big influence for me? Man, I mean, I got lots. Like Grant Green,
yeah.
Wes Montgomery,
yeah.
You know, Sonny Chirac.
Ah, I got to meet him once. I actually got to share a stage with him. Yeah, Buffalo, New York.
Oh man,
he's a really nice cat. He could play his ass off. He's beautiful.
Oh, he sure could, man. Like him, John McLaughlin.
I saw him on Vishnu. What was it called? Birds of Fire.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy. Rick Laird was on the bass. He was playing, John McLaughlin was playing electric 12-string through fuzz tone.
Oh, man.
But I guess if Miles Davis writes a song with your name on it, you get to do shit like that.
Yeah, no doubt.
So the Tortoise guys, they meet you in the or they see you at gigs, or they meet you at the record store?
Well, they saw me at gigs. Well, Johnny Herndon, I fell in with some musicians from the AACM. You know what the AACM is?
Sure.
you know, the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians.
Yeah, yeah.
Very positive. And I started playing with this group called the New Horizons Ensemble.
Uh-huh.
Led by an alto player named Ernest Dawkins. And, you know, it was kind of like, the only way I could describe the sound of New Horizons, it was kind of like a free jazz version of, like, Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers.
Yeah.
You know, like, very swinging, like, a lot, like, pretty high energy. And Johnny Herndon was a big fan of New Horizons.
Okay.
And I went into the bar where he was a bartender, and I walked in, and he was like, "Man, you're the guitar player in New Horizons." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I play drums. We should play together sometime." And that was it. Dang. I mean, we kind of became friends, and then we became then I moved in to the loft where those cats had, they needed a roommate. And then I kind of started sitting in with the band, and then they asked me to join the band. So that was it.
That's bitching. Here, I want to play Mines by you. It's probably named after the city, right?
It is.
In Germany.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, this is...
お会いしましょう。
Watt for Pedro show. We had Mines from Jeff Parker. Then Godzilla Snacks out of Fukuoka. The Evolution. Unlux from SoCal here. Dismissed. Bronx out of Osaka. Slam Dance Forever. And finally, Jeff Parker with Rain for Michael Zerain.
Yeah.
Kind of rhymes. And now your final, not the final, but your latest part of your journey, now you're in California. And you started this band, Isotope 217.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, Isotope, man. I mean, that was kind of we just wanted to play some, like, just weirdo, like, not jazz. I don't really know what to call. We are super into, like, Miles' records from the 70s and, like,
On the Corner.
You know, yeah, On the Corner, Smiles. Get Up With It.
Yeah.
And also, like, in the dub and just, like, weird drum machines and stuff. We just wanted to make some weird, freaky music.
Yeah.
And Isotope kind of started, like, I started Isotope with Johnny Herndon and Dan Bidney from Tortoise, kind of before they asked me to be in Tortoise.
Okay.
My
timeline is fucked up.
Like, a lot of people think the opposite, but it wasn't like that at all.
Okay.
But it wasn't until, you know, we were all in Tortoise that, like, anybody was really interested in putting out a record by us. So it was like, I had to join Tortoise before we could get any shit out. So it was, but yeah, man, I mean, it's, we didn't really even think of the music being like jazz or any shit like that at the time. We just wanted to do something that was different.
Sure. What about the California thing?
Out here now?
Yeah. No, why the move?
I moved, man. I mean, I kind of, you know, my partner, my wife, teaches at Cal Arts. She's a filmmaker.
That's all out in most parts.
Yeah, so she, you know, we,
not too far, it's more, it's Valencia, right?
Yeah, out,
by Magic Valencia.
Yep, out by there.
Yeah.
But she had this job, and, you know, we got together, and she tried to move to Chicago, but she didn't get a job out there, and,
And the weather's...
I don't know, man.
Yeah, the weather's too lame out here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love the Chicago community and stuff, man.
Yeah.
But I started to feel like I was a little too comfortable, man. And I, you know, she couldn't move to Chicago.
Sure.
So we have a son... Who's Ezra? He played his song earlier.
Oh yeah, here it Ezra. Comes. Yeah.
And he was getting older, and
less young.
I had to make a choice.
Sure. Well, several guys, right? Johnny, the other John, McIntyre.
Yeah, they're both out here, man.
Okay, so like
John just. McIntyre just moved up to Nevada City, but he's, you know, he's in California.
Okay. Wow, yeah, by the Sierras. That's way out there.
Yeah. Okay.
So half the band now is in Cali.
Yeah.
But you guys are, but you guys are still active. You're still doing stuff.
We are. We have a gig in China next month. But aside from that, we're trying to figure out how we can actually do shit.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't know how we're going to rehearse before the gig or anything, man. It's kind of weird.
And, practice pretty hard, yeah. But you do play a lot here in SoCal, right? You got some kind of weekly thing?
Yeah, I got a weekly at this club in Highland Park. or a little bar, like Mora Tavern, called EPA, where I play there every Monday. And then, like, other gigs around town, like I'm playing with Eric, who you had on the show.
Yeah, right. He was telling me about that.
Yeah, he just started a new band with me called Lancaster. Yeah, just other stuff around town, you know. Pretty cool. I'm getting busier around here, so that's good.
Okay. You know, I ask everybody this. If somebody would, maybe younger or older, what the fuck, they ask you for advice about this racket, what would you tell them?
About being in the music business?
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
Man. Shit, man. I mean, kind of, it helps to have, like, a good crew. People you can kind of, like, people you can trust.
Sure.
I mean, it's a lot of, try and have some integrity, man.
Sure.
Because they'll try and take that shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, do it for the love, man. Definitely don't do it for the money.
And if people want to find you on the internet, where can they look, Jeff?
I got a website, jeffparkersounds.com.
Okay.
That's the best place to find
me. See that, people, JeffParkerSounds.com.
That's it.
Okay. I want to thank you so much, man. I love your music. I love what you've been doing. And also, all the stuff I know that's coming up. Because you're
that
kind of cat, man. And it's people like you that keep people like Watt keeping on.
Oh, thanks, man. Likewise.
Okay, Jeff.
It's an honor for me to be on your show.
Right back. People, it's been March 7, 2018 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Jeff Parker. Jesus. Keep your powder dry.